Welcome to Bouncing Forward. I'm Amy Purdy. I believe that our challenges give us the opportunity to live an even greater life with more meaning and purpose. Through my own experience of losing my legs at 19 years old and going on to become a professional athlete, New York Times bestselling author, and world-renowned motivational speaker, I've learned that overcoming our obstacles has nothing to do with bouncing back. It has everything to do with bouncing forward. That's why, on this podcast, I'm sharing stories of resilience, setbacks, and remarkable comebacks. Your journey to bouncing forward starts here. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Bouncing Forward. This is a really special week for my family and I because this is the week, 22 years ago, that my life changed forever. And although it may sound a little bit strange that we celebrate this week because it's the week that I got meningitis and I entered the hospital and I fought for my life, but it also represents getting a second chance at life. And for that, I will forever be grateful. So July 16th is what I call my Alive Day, the day where my new life began. So today I want to share a bit more of what that day was like for me and talk about the number one thing that helped me bounce forward and not give up when I lost my legs, when I lost my kidneys, and when I lost the life that I knew. This one thing is what helped me not only bounce forward through my greatest challenges, but it's helped me to manifest the success in my life as well, and that is gratitude. So in this episode, I'm going to share how I found gratitude in some of my darkest days, but also how we can cultivate it when we're not always feeling it. But before I go any further, I want to thank you all for your kind messages about this podcast, and thank you to everybody who's leaving a rating or a review. Every star you click makes a huge difference in the life of this podcast and who sees it. And right now, there's about 250 ratings, yet thousands of you are listening. So if you haven't yet left a rating and a review, this is how you can do it. On Apple Podcasts, you look for Bouncing Forward. And if you scroll the page, you will see where it says ratings and reviews. Simply click that and you can rate the podcast from 1 star to 5 stars. And if you want to leave a review, you can do that as well. All right, so you want to hear about the day my life changed forever? Let's do it. July 15th, 1999, I woke up feeling healthy, I was strong, I was 19 years old, and I loved my life. Just the night before, I was sitting outside watching the sunset with my mom, drinking a glass of wine. Yes, I was 19, but that's what we did. And I was talking about how grateful I was for my life. I had a job that I absolutely loved. I had graduated massage school about 6 months before, and I had just gotten hired at a world-class spa in Las Vegas called Canyon Ranch. I also was working for Steve Wynn, massaging some of the high rollers who had come through Las Vegas, saving up to travel the world, and I remember telling my mom, I feel like I'm on top of the world. I was fit, I was healthy, I was helping to heal other people. It felt like my calling. I remember getting ready for work that morning and feeling the cold tile under my feet. I will never forget that moment because that was the last time that I would ever feel that again. I went to work, and then suddenly, my life took a detour. Although I woke up feeling healthy and strong about halfway through the day, I started to feel a little bit run down. And I actually kind of blamed it on the poor guy who I was massaging because, you know, sometimes people can give you energy, sometimes people can suck the life out of you, and I thought, geez, this guy is absolutely draining me. What is going on? But over the next hour or so, I started to realize my energy level continued to fade. My back was achy, my neck was achy. So thinking I had the flu, I decided to go home from work early. I remember actually stopping by a snowboard shop to visit a friend. And as I was walking around, my eyes were so blurry and my mind was so foggy. And I thought, gosh, I am so fatigued. What is going on? So I went home. I crawled into my parents' bed. That night, I had a temperature of 101. That's typical flu-like symptoms. That's nothing bad. The next morning, my temperature actually broke. So seeing that I felt better, my family decided to follow through with their travel plans and go out of town. My dad runs this Harley Davidson motorcycle rally in Utah, and the family helped out every year. And so I just told them, you know what, I probably have a 24-hour flu or something. I'll meet up with you guys a little bit later. But that afternoon, instead of feeling better, I started to feel worse. At one point, my mom called to check on me, and I said, God, Mom, I feel like I'm dying. And she said, well, you probably have the flu or something. You might be a little bit dehydrated. Get to the hospital if you need to. And when I got off the phone with her, I closed my eyes and I fell asleep. And not long after closing my eyes, I felt this strong urge to wake up. But when I tried to open my eyes, I couldn't. Over and over, I would force myself awake. And then finally, I fell into the deepest sleep I have ever felt. And then suddenly, I heard this voice say, Amy, get up and look in the mirror. And this voice was so startling that I immediately opened my eyes. I looked around. I didn't see anybody there. And as I was sitting up, I started to realize that something was really, really wrong. My heart was beating out of my chest. I was so weak. I was so shaky. It probably took a good 3 to 5 minutes to get into a seated position. And I scooted to the edge of the bed, and I put my feet on the floor, and I stood up. And I realized that I couldn't feel my feet. When I glanced to the floor, I saw that my feet were purple. When I glanced at my hands, I saw that my hands were purple. And when I looked at my reflection in the mirror, I saw that my nose, my chin, and my cheeks were purple as well. I was dying, and I knew it. Right then, my cousin walked in. My mom had called her to come check on me, and she took one look at me, and she cried, oh my God, Amy, it looks like you're dead. And I said, I'm dying. I'm dying. I know I am. I have to get to the hospital right now. Well, the hospital was maybe, 15 minutes away. And I don't know why we didn't think about calling 911. But every minute of that car ride felt like an hour. I had to talk myself through every breath I took. I'd say, Amy, just breathe. Just breathe. And by the time I got to the hospital, my lungs had collapsed. My veins had collapsed. I was immediately put on life support. And I was given less than a 2% chance of living. I remember as I was in the emergency room, there was this nurse, her name was Penny. She had red hair. I always remember that because I thought Penny and red hair. And she was trying to find a vein. She was poking my arm with an IV, and she had tears going down her face. And she was crying to the doctor and saying, why can't I find a vein? And the doctor said, because she's in cardiac arrest. And I thought, I'm in cardiac arrest? And right then, I grabbed the phone. I somehow mustered up the energy to dial my mom's phone number and hand the phone to Penny. And I heard her tell my parents, we don't know what your daughter has, but she has maybe 2 hours left to live. And I remember thinking, so this is what it feels like to die. And something that's really interesting is it was very matter of fact for me. It wasn't emotional. I thought to myself, okay, I'm dying and my parents aren't here and I'm alone. But I didn't feel the sadness. I didn't feel the emotion of that. And now I feel like, you know, that's a pretty amazing thing. I think that's our body's survival mechanism. And it makes me think maybe it doesn't hurt when we die. Maybe our bodies are protecting us. My parents were 3 hours away, and the nurse gave me 2 hours left to live. My dad got in his truck so fast that he ripped off the handle of the door. And by the time my parents arrived that night, I was absolutely fighting for my life. Because my lungs and my veins had collapsed, the doctors had to fill me up with 50 pounds of water to keep pressure in my veins so they could give me medication and IVs. And due to the septic shock and the kidney failure that I was in, they gave me less than a 2% chance of surviving. In fact, Dr. Abby, the doctor who I credit for saving my life, he told my mom, I've never seen anybody pull out of kidney failure this severe before. It took 5 days for the culture to come back as the doctors debated outside my hospital room who's going to tell my parents that it was time to pull the plug. It's when we found out that I had contracted something called bacterial meningitis. Originally, we thought maybe it was toxic shock, then we thought maybe it was the flu. But it was this little microscopic bacteria, and we have no idea how I got it. All we know is this bacteria is spread like the flu or the cold. It lives on your nose and your mouth, and they say up to 25% of the population carry it, although our immune systems normally fight it off. And for some reason, mine didn't. So I could have been standing in an elevator at work and maybe somebody sneezed on me, and that's how I got it. But due to this little microscopic bacteria, over the course of 2.5 months, I ended up losing my spleen, my kidney function, the hearing in my left ear, and due to the septic shock that my body went into, I ended up losing both of my legs below the knees. But the doctor said that I was more likely to be hit by a rod of lightning than to get meningitis and survive. And you may be asking, okay, Amy, but what does this have to do with gratitude? Well, let me tell you. After weeks of fighting for my life, I was so grateful to be alive because I knew how close I was to dying. And let me tell you, perspective is everything. By being so close to losing my life, even if my life was going to look completely different than it did before, I was so grateful to have a second chance. That gratitude is why I never asked, why me? Why did this happen to me? That gratitude and appreciation for my body and how hard it fought for me when I wasn't even there to be a part of it. And that gratitude that I felt for my family by my side and the doctors and the nurses that worked 24/7 to save my life. And for the divine intervention that gave me an opportunity to live again. That gratitude I felt is what gave me the strength to carry on. In fact, I felt as if gratitude was pouring out of my body. And it was that led me to living the most amazing life, more amazing than I ever could have imagined. Because when you are grateful for what you have in your life, more things to be grateful for come your way. Gratitude stacks on gratitude. And not only that, the benefits of practicing gratitude are endless. In fact, studies show that those who practice gratitude for just 3 weeks experience better immune function, more joy, more optimism, they're more outgoing, the list goes on and on. And so why does this happen? What exactly does gratitude do? Well, according to Robert Emmons, the world's leading scientific expert in gratitude, here is how gratitude works. Gratitude allows us to celebrate the present moment. And if you listen to my last episode, it was all about the present moment. Being present magnifies positive emotions. Therefore, our mood is elevated. When we are present, we aren't worried about the future and we aren't grieving about the past. We are grateful for the moment as it is and every moment that's led to where we are today. Gratitude forces us into the here and now, and is the key to appreciating the life we have. Gratitude actually blocks toxic and negative emotions such as envy, regret, and all the emotions that sabotage living a happy life. This particular study showed that we cannot be envious and grateful at the same time. So when people ask me, how hard was it losing my legs? Yes, it was very hard. And yes, I had moments where I realized life would be a lot easier had I have not lost my legs. However, I was so grateful to be alive that there wasn't room for grief. There wasn't room for envy. I'm not saying that I never felt a negative emotion around it. I did have depressing times, but I can tell you that the more grateful I was, the less negative I was. In fact, there's many studies that show that people who face serious trauma or adversity, if they have a more grateful disposition, they will actually heal quicker. And I couldn't agree more. Instead of dwelling on the past and what I lost, I chose to focus on what I gained and what I have. By being grateful and feeling positive, elevated emotions, we are learning and growing and allowing ourselves to truly bounce forward. And let's be honest, life ebbs and flows. Sometimes gratitude comes naturally, like when I fought for my life and won. But sometimes it doesn't come so naturally. So what can we do to be more grateful for what we have in our lives? Here's one practice that helps to cultivate more gratitude in our daily life. And yes, gratitude is a practice. And the more you do it, the more it becomes a habit. And once it's a habit, it's no longer something you think about. It just becomes who you are. The easiest way to cultivate more gratitude in your life is to keep a gratitude journal. I personally have one right by my bed. Every morning I wake up, I write 5 things that I'm grateful for because there's no better way to start the day than with elevated emotions. And you want to do this at the beginning of the day before your phone rings, before you get pulled into negative emotions. You want to claim the day. You want to declare how your day is going to be. So this is what I want you to do. Every morning, write 5 things down that you're grateful for. But there's a key part to this. When you are writing these things down, I want you to feel them. I want you to feel the emotions that each one of those things bring you. So for example, if you write down, I'm grateful for my dog that's sleeping at my feet, I want you to feel that. I want you to feel what that feels like to have that love for your dog. Or if you're grateful for your family, I want you to feel that. Feel that emotion. Or if you're grateful because you got a new job, shut your eyes and feel that. And these don't have to be big things that you're grateful for. They can be little tiny things. In fact, that's what they probably should be. It's like how good that apple was that I ate yesterday. That was amazing. What does that feel like? And feel it. And if you're having a hard time thinking of things to be grateful for, turn on a song that makes you feel good. You could even write that down. I am so grateful for this song because it makes me feel alive. And what this does to start the day with the things that you are grateful for, it elevates your entire mood. And when your mood is elevated, your day is elevated. And when your days are elevated, then your entire life is elevated. And the most important step is to make this a daily practice. Do it every single day and turn it into a habit. Because sometimes life is hard. Believe me, I know. Sometimes life breaks you down. But it really is up to us to build ourselves back up. Sometimes we just need the tools to do so. So I hope this gratitude practice helps you in your life as much as it's helped me in my own life. And remember, you never know when your detours will lead you to your destiny. Thank you so much for tuning in to Bouncing Forward. My mission is to show that no matter what our circumstances, if you want something bad enough and if you feel it in your heart and your soul, that the possibilities of what we can achieve are endless. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to never miss an episode, and please leave a review to help me help more people bounce forward. I want to leave you with this one question. If your life was a book and you were the author, how would you want your story to go? From this podcast, I hope you walk away seeing that although we can't control the things that happen to us, we can always control the way we react to them. We determine where our story goes from here. It's not about bouncing back to who we once were. It's about bouncing forward and becoming all that we could be.